Greetings, everybody. It's great to be here. It really is. Can't find a nicer drive, nicer weather, nicer time of year. Looking forward to the feast, looking forward to trumpets as well. It's all coming together as it truly should. And I think one of the things that we can focus on at this time of year, brethren, as we do throughout the year, but even more so at this time of year, is the question, why? Why were you born? Why are you here? Where did you come from and where are you going? I remember when I was a little kid, I used to look at my navel and wonder, where'd that come from? And you really, you know, there's no immediate answer, but you learn later as to why you actually were physically born. But the greater reason, the greater question that looms, of course, is why we were born in the grand scheme of things. What's it all about? And as far as the Church of God, brethren, is concerned, the feast really points to the answer to that question as far as you and I are concerned, because we're being trained for positions in the kingdom of God. It is a tremendous thing to really contemplate. Let's go to John 6:44 and read a little bit about your calling, my calling, and of course, what we are doing here, why we're here, and where it's all pointed, because we have a very special privileged calling at this particular time, we who are part of the Church of God, the body of Christ. But again, we somehow came into it. But God, I'm sure, brethren, when you read this scripture properly, we understand that God began to draw us before we actually even became aware of the truth. There was something that God was doing with us individually at a particular point in time in our lives prior to us actually stumbling over the truth. So it says here in John 6:44, it says, "No man can come to me except the Father that has sent me draw him." Brother, I want to focus on that word draw, because it's like pulling. There's a pull that takes place in our lives. And again, many, many scriptures, brethren, talk very much about the fact that this drawing, this pulling, began probably before you ever knew what the truth was. You know, you probably had questions that perplexed your mind in years gone by. And then ultimately, you're confronted with the church and the message that goes out from the church. And that becomes the calling. That kind of makes the connection. But I know in my personal life, brethren, I always had this wonder about how come I just don't quite fit in, and I'm not so happy with the way things are in the world. I'm not so happy with the way people view things. It doesn't give me the contentment that I'm looking for. So we're constantly probing that in our thought process until finally it all comes together. But brethren, the church gives us an understanding, and we do have that understanding, and then we begin to focus on these wonderful holy days that are coming up, because it starts to clarify in our minds what that real picture is. Brethren, I want to go to Genesis, the second chapter, because we are here to learn some lessons. Mr. Armstrong used to say that, brethren. It was one of the things that he used to say, and I don't think people really like to hear that, because you don't really want to learn lessons. You don't want to go through experiences that sometimes can be negative. You want to have a lot of positive experiences. You want life to be bliss. We want it to be perfect. We want to have perfect health. We want everything to go our way, and just to have a lot of fun and enjoyment and all the rest of it. But it doesn't quite work like that. But brethren, God put us here for a purpose. We are being trained. We are learning some lessons. We are in the process of developing the character of God to take on His persona. That's why. So that we can transition into the spiritual family of God. Now, unless we take on his persona, his character, we can't do that. We have to, first of all, in this life, be about doing our Father's business and developing his character. That's what we're doing here. That's why we are living the life that we live right now. That's why God set it up. So that's what we're doing. But it's interesting, one little phrase here, one little word here, or one little phrase of one little scripture in Genesis, the second chapter, this kind of puts in a nutshell, brethren, what we are to be doing in this life, to learn how to really appreciate, to take care of things, to develop that same mindset as God, and to develop through that process his character. It says in Genesis 2, verse 15, and the Lord took the man, he took him, and he put him into the Garden of Eden, which is an absolute blissful paradise. Now, what about our homes, brethren? What about our surroundings? What about where we live? What about the things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis? Do we try to take those things and to dress them, as it says here, and to keep them, to enhance, to, you know, lift to a higher level? I can remember one of the purposes of Ambassador College, the three campuses that the church had in years gone by, they tried to make them the most beautiful places on earth. And actually, some of the people that went there, they actually, you know, said, you really accomplished that. These are idyllic places. They, you know, kind of remind you a little bit of the Garden of Eden. And so in a sense, brethren, that's something that we strive for in our lives, to develop that same environment, that same type of thing. And that is, of course, one of the reasons why we go to the Feast of Tabernacles, because we can actually develop even more so that kind of an environment and that kind of mindset and that kind of beauty. It's very important to God that we start to become like him in this process. That's what it's all about. That's why we were born. That's the step going in the direction of the kingdom of God ultimately, so that we can step even a little bit further into his kingdom, into his spirit kingdom. And it'll be a wonderful thing, brethren, but we will take with us what we have developed in this life and carry it on over. And that is what God wants us to do now. He wants us to come to a very high threshold or a very high standard in this life, the very highest we possibly can, and to sort of mirror him, the way he is, his mindset, his attitude, his nature. That's what we're striving to do, brethren, to dress and to keep, to enhance, to make beautiful, to beautify. You know, the physical creation, brethren, it is in a state of decay. Physical things deteriorate. Buy a new car. See how long it lasts for. I've got one at home that's over 20 years old. And actually, somehow, it's still in pretty good shape. But it's still deteriorated from what it was before. Because the physical, brethren, it winds down. It really does. But you try to reverse that process and to enhance things and to keep it going. But it has limited prospects for sure. Let's go to Luke, the second chapter. Luke, the second chapter, God talks about this particular principle again. Or not Luke, the second, Luke, the 16th chapter. I'm sorry about that. Luke 16. And again, he gets back to this point in a way, because it's at the end of a parable. I won't read the whole thing. But it says here in verse 10 of Luke 16, he that is faithful in least. Now, you can look at this physical creation. You look at our lives, brethren. They're kind of limited, not really, you know, not on the same plane as God. So it is a limited physical experience. But God here is sort of pointing to a principle. He's saying, what you have now, how you deal with it now, how you try to make it better now means that he's going to give us the greater things, you know, his kingdom, his spiritual things, brethren, which are on a plane so much higher. Let's read these verses. He that is faithful in that which is least, you sort of kind of look at it and say, well, the physical world, the physical domain, and so on and so forth, it's, you know, it has its limitations. Which is faithful in that which is much. And he that isn't unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So he's saying, you know, if we are not building the character to take things to a higher level, then he says in verse 11, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? Now, if we're not faithful, brethren, in this present life, God's not going to give us the kingdom. So it's a high threshold to shoot for. It really is. So we strive with all of our hearts to do that very thing. Verse 12, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? And of course, implying, brethren, the things that God is going to give us is the kingdom of God. Based on what we do now, based on how we interact with the physical creation now, and how we dress and keep our lives now, and how we take it to a higher level. Brethren, God has given us something to shoot for in this physical life. He really has. And that's what we focus on, especially at the Feast of Tabernacles. We strive to shoot for the stars. We really do. We shoot for the highest level of life, of living, of values, of all the rest of it, you know, perfect, holy, righteous character. These are the things that we are striving for in this life, brethren. And when we do, then God's going to give us the greater things, the spiritual things, the kingdom of God as it comes to this earth, and the tremendous, tremendous blessings that will come at that time.